Welcome to our time of scripture reading. We are reading from the first letter of John. First John is what it's called. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll move into chapter 2 briefly. Hear the word of God. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And then from chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Isabel Beckna is a primatologist who studies animal behavior to understand other animals as well as to understand humans, understand our place in the wider created order. In her 2011 TED Talk, she opens up by saying, "I just came back from a community that holds the secret to human survival. It's a place where women run the show, kiss to say hello, and play rules the day, where fun is serious business." And no, this isn't Burning Man or San Francisco. Isabel had been studying bonobos in the jungles of the Congo. Bonobos are your standard-looking monkey, similar-looking to a chimpanzee, and both are our closest living animal relatives. But the difference is that while chimpanzees are well-known for their aggression and animalistic characteristic that too often rears its head in our own lives, bonobos show us the other side of life. While chimpanzees are dominated by big, scary guys, the bonobo society is run by empowered females, leading to a highly tolerant society where fatal violence hasn't yet even been observed. Primatologists know these monkeys as the make love, not war apes, since they use love and play to manage conflict and solve their social issues. Bonobos, like humans, love to play throughout their entire lives. It's where play isn't just a child's game. For us and for them, play is foundational for bonding relationships, fostering tolerance. It's where we learn to trust and where we learn about the rules of life. Play increases our creativity and our resilience, and it's all about the creation of diversity, diversity of interactions, diversity of behaviors, diversity of connections. And when you watch bonobo play, you're seeing the very evolutionary roots of human laughter, dance, and ritual. Play is the glue that binds us together. Now, John doesn't explicitly talk about the power of play today, but I think in our scripture reading, we find a similar truth right under the surface in his words about the depths and lengths and eternity of this fellowship we have with God and Jesus. That it is this eternal vertical relationship that establishes and maintains this joyful horizontal fellowship we call Christian community in the church, where we play as Christians. John opens his first letter by staking his claim and the claim the church has by saying that what's going on here, both in this Johannine community we read about and in our community today, that life together, church, was revealed in Jesus. In Jesus, we see what it means to live and love together, and that this Jesus thing, it's not some ancient Greek think piece or philosophy or mental gymnastic that exists all up here, but that faith is authoritative, is real, because it's from the beginning. And it's authentic or meaningful because the community has heard and seen and touched the real lived experience of Jesus and his disciples, and their lives have been transformed. They've seen and handled their future eternal hope in the here and now, the hope of today and the promises of future collided in their joy of community. First John is reminding us of the gospel promise that eternal life is now in community, that that which we hope and dream for is lived out today. While our modern sensibilities may read the words eternal life and understand it as something that happens after death, and it's certainly true and a vital and core component of our Christian faith that this Christian bond and community is so strong that it endures after death, 1 John is reminding us that we cannot be so concerned with life after death that we forget the gospel promise that there's life before death to be lived. The kingdom of God is here and now, and we see it in the joy of community. During a Sunday school discussion one morning, Paul Bourne was shocked when a congregant told him, "I really don't want more community than we already have at this church." They said, "What I like about this church is that no one judges you for not being more involved or attending regularly. If we had more community, people would begin to expect something out of me." Paul's mouth dropped open. He couldn't believe what he was hearing, particularly in this Mennonite church that he was serving at. Because for him, it was the Mennonites who taught him the value of the statement, "Whatever the problem, community is the answer." But after taking a minute, picking his jaw off the floor, maybe this guy was right. If finding joy in community means I'm expected to be present every Sunday, give money, sit on at least one committee, join a small group, contribute to monthly potlucks, and provide meals and support to congregational members who are sick or in need, who has the time or energy for all of that? Sometimes the seeming requirements and responsibilities of community can be anything but joyful, where community is more like chimpanzees than bonobos. Sometimes community can feel like an obligation or a punishment rather than play. Paul, our friend, thinks so too, saying, "Some days I think it would be so much easier to be anonymous in the crowd, to come and go as I like, to care only for those I choose and when I choose. I love this feeling of being free," Paul says, "anonymous, of living life on my terms. Besides, my days are so full, I am constantly with people and exhausted most days when I get home. I deserve that glass of wine by myself in the backyard with that 'keep your dog inside and only cut your lawn from 11 to 12 on Saturday morning' kind of mentality." And yet, at the same time, Paul knows what it feels like to be alone. And that doesn't work either. He says his feelings of loneliness are often at its worst when he's in the midst of a crowd. You know that feeling where you are at a reception, there's an awkward moment when everyone is talking to someone other than you. You find yourself standing there alone, feeling left out, isolated, self-conscious, feeling like you want to hide or just walk away. This isn't feeling introverted, needing that time alone to read, to re-energize, and to sit in the quiet of your own thoughts, but it's that deep-pitted feeling that we feel that it's all up to me and life is work. In the midst of the crowd, people all around, people who may love you, we can still get an anxious feeling and hear this recurring voice, "Take care of yourself because no one else will." That voice, it's not from God. No, Jesus says in John 19, when he's on the cross, when he knows he's about to be gone for a little bit, instead of being consumed by the pain he was going through, he looks down from the cross and he sees his mother standing nearby. And next to her is the beloved disciple. And Jesus looks to his mom and says, "Mom, here's your son." And then he looks at his friend and says, "Here is your mother." Jesus entered a world marked by loneliness and loss and brings people together so that we may discover abundant life, that we may never be alone. Our friend Paul from that Mennonite church, he was one day meeting with a youth fresh out of high school, someone who knew what it felt like to walk the halls of high school surrounded by people and feel alone, but also knew what it felt like to sit in church and feel loved. And this kid, he told Paul, "You know, when I'm in community, I don't feel alone." This kid now is clearly an introvert, shy, self-conscious, but for him, this feeling of belonging was the antidote of loneliness. That's the joy of community. It's knowing that following Jesus, the stories of Jesus, healing people, bringing in outcasts, seeing the forgotten, we know and we can reap those benefits and carry on that witness. Community has a lot of benefits, and I attest that feeling a sense of belonging may likely be the most important. To feel a sense of belonging means that we feel we are in the right place where God's intended, where we feel welcomed and embraced. To belong is to be cared for and to reciprocate that caring, to know that I am home, no matter where you are or who you are. Having others in your life whom you know you can trust helps you make sense of who you are. It also helps shape your identity as you recognize the gifts you have to offer. There's an African term, Ubuntu, often used by Nelson Mandela, which means, I am human because I belong. My humanity is caught up, is inextricably bound up in yours. Whereas John says in verse 4, where our joy may be complete. Rachel Held Evans used to say that the church is God saying, I'm throwing a banquet and all these mismatched, messed up people are invited. Here, have some wine. 1 John and this series, Children of God, Seeking God's Light, is our hope to help encourage all of us towards community, that we are not made for isolation and individualism where we dwell in darkness, but that we can be inspired to look towards the light of God this summer, seeing new paths illuminated before us, knowing that Jesus doesn't leave us to suffer from sin and death, but that we can be in community with God and Jesus to live into new life abundantly. New life has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, drawing us closer to God so that we can discover the true joy of community bound up together. And won't you join us? Amen.